pardon me. What are we using? Okay, thank you. Sorry. Sometimes batteries and other things, as much as we try to check. Well, I'll start over. As slaves, they had no choices. The Egyptian masters told them when to get up, what to do, how long to do it, how well they'd done it, and when it was time to quit. They could not change jobs. They couldn't change locations. The very idea of slavery means that you have no choice. Your absolutely only focus in life is to do the will of the master. So for decades, they were slaves in Egypt and given no choice. After they had been brought out of slavery by Moses, there was this extended period of time where they wander in the Sinai. They wander, and by force of necessity, they have to stay together. There will be no life. There will be no opportunities if they splinter off. They've got to stay together for survival. And so during the generation of Moses and Joshua, they did that. They stay together. They come to the promised land, and now it is theirs. And on this day, as they prepare to enter into a new chapter of life, it is a life that really, for the first time since Jacob took his family down into Egypt to escape the famine, it will be the first time that they are truly free, and the first time that they have the opportunity to make significant decisions about their lives. It is the dawn of freedom, and it's the dawn of choice. Those of you who are graduating, you haven't exactly been slaves, but really in your life you've had little choice. I know some of you think you have, but really your life has given you little choice. All the big choices, all the things that you really want to choose for yourselves have been decided by somebody else. Your family's decided your curfew, where your families live determines where you live, and because of your age, every year you will be in school 180 days, whether you like it or not. Occasionally there's a two-month furlough in the summer, and then it's back to it in the fall again. If you ask any group of graduating seniors or incoming freshmen, the thing that they look forward to the most in the new adventure, the answer that comes up most commonly is the freedom. I'm looking forward to the freedom. I'm looking forward to being able to make choices for myself. So if you go off this summer for some early advanced summer term or in this fall, the opportunity will now be yours to decide when you go to bed, if you go to bed, when to get up, if you'll get up, to go to class or not, on Thursday night, to study or to party, to wear whatever you want to wear without comment or criticism from another adult. And like Israel, as they're there by the river, you're on the dawn of a new day of choice and freedom. Choice and freedom to do what you want to do. And as Joshua confronts the children of Israel about their choices, I'd like to say a word to you about yours. We know little about Joshua, but all we know is from the old spiritual that he fit the battle of Jericho. But he is the successor to Moses. He is the one who has been leading the children of Israel. And now as they come to this moment, it falls to him to define the temptations, to define the options, and he speaks to them in terms of the gods that they might worship. Will you choose to worship the gods of the Egyptians that we've brought, some have evidently brought with them out of the land of Egypt? Will you worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land they're now going to be our neighbors? And essentially, he tells them, today you got to choose who you're going to serve. And that's what I would like to convince you of as well. You will serve somebody. You will. If I think there were two barriers to me trying to make the same speech to you that Joshua made to them, one is probably the fact that because of the great opportunities, the great gifts, the great privileges that you have had growing up, you may not think that you will ever have to serve anything. There's a good chance, knowing your gifts, knowing your personalities, you may be the alpha male in your group or the alpha female. You may never remember a time when other kids, other friends were not following you. You may already have a guaranteed position in the family business. You may have been an Eagle Scout and people are telling you, oh, you're such a leader. You're such a leader. Now, you need to go out and you need to do all of these wonderful things, which you should do. But you may think that it has made you immune to the need to serve somebody. And I'm just going to tell you, everybody does. And you've got to choose. You think, well, I know people, you know, there are people at the college I'm going to who have been national champions. They're ahead of everything. Everybody follows them. Well, if you look, those people who are national champions serve the sport. Nobody becomes a champion without having given their life to the sport. Or you may know people who are already in position at the campus where you're going that are president of the student body, and you think they're above everybody. They're in charge of everything. Well, they serve the idea of election and victory. People at the top, people at the very top included, everybody serves somebody. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, you can't have two masters because you'll love the one and hate the other. But hidden in that message is the idea, but everybody will serve one. Everybody will serve a master. And it's the same message that Joshua speaks to the children of Israel here. Choose who you're going to serve. But he doesn't say, and one of those choices is not to serve anybody, because we will all serve somebody. So do not mistake your early successes. Do not mistake your early victories or opportunities or all your leadership potential to think that you won't, because you will serve somebody. Now, Joshua, unfortunately for us, talks about serving other gods. The ability of a 21st century preacher to convince people that this has relevance for us is very difficult. We don't believe in the little idols, the little stone and wood statues, and for us to try to say, oh, that's like a god to us, just really doesn't make a lot of sense. But the truth is that there are things that compete for our lives. They compete for our affection. They compete for our attention. And the things that control our lives are the things that we serve. They would be the equivalent of the gods that Joshua is talking about. And the most powerful one, the most subtle one, the most dangerous one, is the option of serving yourself. I would offer you this as a real challenge. I mean, you can just listen to it and say that was nice, but I would offer this to you as a real challenge. Find a secret place that you think a year and a month from now that you will be sure to find where you wrote it down, maybe even by accident, and write down these three words. Who is it? Who is it? And then, when you come across that a year and a month from now, ask yourself, who flunked out of school? In my school or the people I know in the other schools around in the area, who flunked out or whose parents said, you're not going back because I am not paying for that again? Who is it that has ruined their opportunity because they chose everything about themselves? They chose all the pleasure, all the party, all the lack of restraint, all the foolishness, all the things that they thought were going to be fun, and they have given away a year of their life for nothing. Who is it? Who is it that decided to do whatever they wanted to do to serve themselves and ruined a year of their life, and if left continuously, will ruin their life? Who is it? It reminds me of the statement that Jesus makes about what does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their life? What does it profit if you get to do everything you always wanted to do when you were at home and your parents wouldn't let you and you ruin your life? You see, this is the danger of serving ourselves. I would say to you, you've got to serve somebody, and whatever it is that controls your life, even if it's your own desires, your own foolishness and craziness, you're going to serve somebody, and that will be a terrible fate. Think about service projects that you do at school or in Scouts or any of the other number of places. Service projects are always about getting outside of ourselves. They're never about doing things for us. And they're to try to teach us that the advantage or the blessing in life is there to serve and do for others. And I'll tell you, we're all going to serve something. We all are going to serve something. It's a choice of what it's going to be. It is a choice of what it will be. Now, of course, I would hope for you that it would be Jesus. I would hope that you would recognize that in God's great love, what God has done for you. This is the way, if you go back and read from the beginning of the speech, this is what Joshua tells the children of Israel. See what God has done for us. Sometimes people think, well, I'll serve God and see if God will do great things for me. The message is God has done great things for us. I will serve God. I would hope that you would recognize that Christ has died, that Christ has forgiven, that Christ guides and nurtures and supports and answers prayer all the time. All the time. Of all the things that you could choose to serve, who, what loves you so much? Who else, what else would give you so much and just simply ask that you follow? What would you give your life to? You know, your whole life. Think about what that means from this point. What is your whole life going to be like? What's it going to include? Who will be in your life? What will you have? What opportunities? What is worthy? What is worthy of your whole life? Nothing but Jesus. Of course, the title today, the words, come from the Bob Dylan song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. I know he's a generation gone, but he was revisited on The Sopranos, and maybe you heard it there. Bob Dylan never had much of a reputation as a religious individual till later in his career. And one night in a concert had a fever. I think he said it was 105. And he pressed through, and the next night he was someplace else, and he felt even worse. And somebody in the audience recognized that he was struggling. And so they threw something up on the stage. And he said, I rarely would pick up something thrown from the crowd, but I picked this up, and it was a cross. And I put it in my pocket. He finished the show, and then the next night, another location, another show, he felt even worse, and he remembered the cross in his pocket. And he talks about, in a way that seems odd to hear someone of his style and his career say these things, but Jesus Christ became Lord of Lords and King of Kings in his life. And Dylan went out and he wrote and recorded a CD of songs that reflected his experience in coming to Jesus Christ. And probably the song from that CD that has had the most play, the most notoriety, is this one. When somebody as perceptive and somebody who has the way with words as Bob Dylan, when he tries to summarize what he's learned about faith and what he's learned about God, he says, I've learned this. You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Make the right choice. Choose Christ. Shall we pray together? Almighty God, we thank you that you have called us to your service, and we pray that we have clearly heard the call and given ourselves to it. We offer today to serve you, for you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy of any worship. You alone are worthy of all of our lives. Accept our service today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.